Welcome to We Blether About, a podcast from the Academic Skills team at UWS. I'm Linda Riches and I'm one of the Academic Skills Advisors at the University. So this is really a part two podcast because we talked in part one about academic writing and we did a sort of general kind of overview with some hints and some tips and really explaining what academic writing is. But what we thought we would do in this episode is just think about refining that academic writing. So, you know, getting into using effective paragraphing and paraphrasing. So I'm not doing this on my own. As always, I've got the rest of the academic skills advisors. So hi, Mary.
Hello.
Hi, Carly.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, John.
Hi, Linda.
And we're all here to try and use our collective wisdom to sort of give you some hints and tips. So maybe let's just start off. We mentioned, and if you've not listened to the previous academic writing podcast, I'd recommend you go and have a little listen to that first. But one of the things that we talked about was you know the need to be concise and not using the longest words in the dictionary. But you do need to think about the way you write and put ideas together. And John was talking last time about, you know, the idea of really, you know, using language in a way that brings those ideas together and, you know, holds the hand of the reader as they're going through the assignment. So let's think first of all about that paragraphing and something that we mentioned quite a lot, which you might have heard in other podcasts, is P's, which we talk about. So if I bring in John. I think you've mentioned this before. Anyone who's not clear, who's not heard us mention it, what is P's and why do we talk about that in terms of your paragraphs and your writing?
So it's a great way to get that critical analysis in. I think it really ties in with I mean, you've probably heard of this from your lecturers, that at university you need to be more critical rather than descriptive. I think the P's method really helps with that and focusing your attention on presenting a series of points, but backing that up with evidence and analysis.
Yeah. So just for anyone that doesn't know, when we talk about P's and think about P's that you eat, I think we just use that because it's quite easy to remember. So P means making your point. So what is your point? E is the evidence, bringing in that referencing to support. And I often say to students, if you just do that, if you just bring in the point and the evidence, you'll probably get feedback saying that you're being too descriptive because you're not going into that deeper level, just like you mentioned, John. So the A then is for analysis. And that's really just, you know, what is it about that point that's interesting that you want the reader to pay attention to? Going into that, you know, bit more depth. And then the S at the end is the so what, which is just really trying to link your idea back to what you've been asked to do, which I always think you can't always do that in every paragraph, but you can try and drip feed it throughout the assignment if you can. I know the so what sometimes upsets students. I've had students have so what written on an assignment as feedback and then, you know, be a bit upset about why are they saying so what? And I usually say it's not that the idea is wrong, it's just that you've not made the connection, so they can't give you the marks if you don't make the connection. So yeah, P's is something that we quite like to talk about. And actually, I think we've got a little mini podcast about P's. So if you want just a really quick, you know, five, 10 minutes just on P's, then do have a look at that podcast as well. But have a listen to that. Maybe bringing in here Mary and Carly, what are the kind of things when people are writing paragraphs, is it not using that sort of P's kind of format that where students come unstuck? Is it lots of description? What are the things you generally see that you have to speak to students about in their academic writing?
So I think maybe one of the main things that I see quite a lot is the way that students are using evidence in their paragraphs. So like you said, Linda, evidence is the second step to P's. So we always need evidence in our paragraphs, but if we just drop in a copy and paste of what someone said, it doesn't really flow very well. And it also doesn't show that you, one, understand what that quote means, or that you've done that analysis and so what of commenting what on what's doing and thinking about how it actually answers your question. So, I mean, one thing that I know lots of departments prefer is paraphrasing rather than directly quoting, which will be completely different to maybe what you've done before or what some students in maybe more humanities departments will experience. But I know for sure a lot of nursing and things like that, healthcare, prefer you to paraphrase. And maybe that's not explained why 100% of the time. It's not just to put an extra step in and make your life harder. It is to combat what I've kind of said above. If you are putting it into your own words, you can make it flow much more nicely in your paragraph. And it also actually signals to the marker that you've taken a piece of information and you've rephrased it. So that means that you understand what it actually said in the first place. So definitely the way that you're using your evidence in your work. I'm not sure if Carly has any more thoughts on that or any other bits and pieces.
Totally agree. And I think paraphrasing is something that I've seen a lot of students who are maybe between levels of study or starting to enter at the beginning of another level or year of study wanting to improve on, or maybe that's something that they've received a lot of feedback on in the past. So I think that's all really great advice. And it is important to, you know, make sure that you're demonstrating your comprehension through the way that you're integrating those kind of quotes and pieces of evidence. And as you're doing that, it's also important to make sure that you're weaving references into your work in a way that is suitable. And again, it contributes to flow. I started to talk about this in part one of the academic writing episode, but I talked about maybe varying your citations between author-led references and information-driven or led references. So author-driven means that you're saying or reading the author's name out loud, whereas information is probably tacked on at the end of the sentence where your full citation is in those brackets or those parentheses. So if you're wanting to situate your information more closely to the author, or maybe it's an author that has their own theory, then you want to make sure that you are probably reading their name out loud because you're introducing somebody who is really important in your field or in that subject area. So if you're saying Vygotsky's theory on social interaction suggests that or proposes, it's probably more appropriate to use author-driven by saying their name out loud. Whereas other information, maybe you're summarizing some findings from a study that you've already started to discuss, maybe you can tack on the citation at the end because we already have a bit of an idea of where that information is from or who is responsible for it. So that's something that is maybe a little bit advanced that comes with time, adding that variation. It can come with revision as well. As you're going back, you might realize that every citation you have is information driven. It could be a good time to go back and try and be more intentional about how you are weaving those in to your writing to contribute to the flow and to the formality, kind of the, I almost want to say storytelling. You're almost telling a story with the evidence and the arguments that you're making. So I think that's something to be mindful of. And as you're going through that, and as you're paraphrasing generally, you will need to be aware of some supportive tools that are out there. There's some AI tools for paraphrasing, so they usually aren't nearly as effective as what you are capable of doing. So try and do it on your own. And if you're really struggling with paraphrasing, not getting it as much as you'd like to, or just keep getting feedback about it on your assessments, then if you haven't looked at our resources, be sure to do that. You can always discuss with us in a one-to-one appointment as well.
Yeah. I think that's a good point you made there about just a little bit of caution around paraphrasing tools. There's lots of tools that will, promise to paraphrase what you're looking at, but you have to understand what you're reading. You have to understand what you're writing about. Just good to be cautious around that. And it's something that we were discussing as a team, actually, The idea of putting in page numbers as well when you're paraphrasing, so, you know, is quite important, because that is quite a good way of being very clear about exactly where you're taking your information from. So you're being very transparent. You know, I talked about this idea and it came from this author on page 5, is making it very clear. You've got nothing to hide. This is, you know, where I took it from, and this is my interpretation of that idea. Might be one way to sort of think about it. Any sort of other resources that can help with academic writing that we're kind of happy to recommend, John?
Well, definitely the Manchester Phrase Bank. Mm. We have a separate podcast episode about that. It's worth looking at because it gives you some great expressions that you can use in your own writing. These are very rarely full sentences. They're often sentence starters, and then you fill in the rest. And it can really help with getting, if you're worried about kind of academic tone, this is a great tool to kind of use to show you expressions that typically get used in academic writing, but the onus is on you to still complete the blanks and fill in the rest of the sentence. So you're explaining your own ideas. So that's a really good tool, I would say.
Yeah, I like Manchester Phrase Bank, and I think, like you say, it's a sentence starter. And my tip for students using it as well is, if there's a sentence starter there that you think, I don't really understand that, don't use it. I mean, 99% of what is there is very simple, straightforward language, but there is the occasional phrase where you think, I'm not sure. Like, there's one where it says, like, the meta-analysis, and I'm thinking, not quite sure what that means. So, you know, if I'm not comfortable using it, I wouldn't use it in a piece of work. But
it goes back to Colly's point there about kind of getting your own voice in there and making sure that's coming through, right? Well, this is the issue sometimes with the paraphrasing tools, is it's there, therefore not your voice that's coming through in the essay, and there can often be inconsistent parts in an essay.
Yeah, and important to say that voice doesn't necessarily appear overnight. It's something that takes time, you know, and, you know, you'll get better at it as you sort of develop your writing through the feedback that you're getting. So, something that is a kind of work in progress. And probably we've all experienced that as well, you know, when writing, you know, of just developing and becoming a bit more confident. I think that comes, though, from confidence of reading and understanding what you're reading and then feeling more confident in discussing it. I think then that voice comes through. But I think, like we're sort of mentioning, if you're over-reliant on paraphrasing tools to do that, it's not your voice that's going to appear. Yeah.
And ultimately, you're never going to get better at writing then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a bit like exercise. Yeah, it's and we're probably guilty of this because we probably don't write as much as students expect us to do in our working lives. That's the thing. But the more you practice, the better you are going to be at writing, and the more the clearer you're going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully that's given you a little bit more detail thinking about academic writing. If you've not caught part one, then do have a little listen to that one. And remember, we mentioned quite a few other podcasts that we've done separate podcasts on, for example, Manchester Phrase Bank and Pease. So I think we've got over 50 podcasts now for you to go and have a listen to. So do go and have a listen. There's lots of advice there. So if you're new to A Wee Blether About, if you've not heard about us before, then there's quite a back catalogue to go and explore. Remember, you can always book an appointment with us to discuss academic writing at any level. And, you know, you can chat to us over Teams. You can see us in person. And we've got another podcast about the different types of appointments that you can book with us. So you can check that out as well. Great to speak to everyone today. Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Carly. Thanks, John. And as always, any comments, any feedback on the podcast, do drop us a line at skills@uws.ac.uk. Thanks for listening.